Hey, good morning, ARPC at the school hall. Good morning. Morning. Good morning, ARPC at the chapel. Of course, we can't hear their response, but I'm sure they are saying good morning to all of us, okay? So normally, week after week, as an ARPC, we meet as one church in two places, right? Bishan as well as Adam. But today is a special occasion because we are meeting as one church in one place. Amen? Amen. Got to be a bit more enthusiastic, huh? Isn't it nice? I mean, you can come and you can catch up with a lot of friends that you have not met over the past year. You can, because we're gathered together in one place, okay? So it's really our hope that we can continue to have more events like this where we can come together as God's one church in ARPC. Okay? Let me pray for us as we begin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. And we fully acknowledge, O Lord, that it is your word that brings us to faith. It is your word that grows us and nurtures us in our faith. And it is your word that sustains us. So we pray, O Lord, even as we come to the last Sunday service of 2018, we pray and ask that it will be your word that brings us forward into the new year. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wish to begin my sermon this morning by introducing us to someone. So, can I call upon the slide, please? Thank you. Yes. Okay. I'm actually referring to the person on the right. Okay, the person on the right. That is none other than Mr. Fong Loon Siong. Okay, and as you can guess from the surname, that is none other than my dad, my father. Okay, you can probably also guess it from the looks. You can see how the good looks transfer from the father to the son and now to the grandson. Just kidding. Okay, so let me share with you a little bit about my dad. My dad was born in 1938 in Singapore. He was born into a poor family that migrated from China to Singapore. Now, my dad, as a little boy, survived the Japanese occupation, and he went on to receive an education in one of the schools that was set up by the British government then. Being poor, the highest education that my dad could receive was a secondary school education. And with that education, he went out to work. He managed to find a job as a junior technician in the blood bank of one of the hospitals in Singapore. It's actually Alexandra Hospital, and he stayed there for the rest of his working life. Okay, you could say that my dad had a modest job, and he had a modest life. But favor was upon him. My dad rose through the ranks to the highest position that he could rise to, and that is he became the manager of the blood bank. And at his retirement, he was receiving a very decent salary, despite his modest qualifications. Along the way, he married my mom, started attending church, became a Christian, and had children, namely my older brother and I. My mom and my dad have been married for over 45 years now, and they have become so closely yoked together that, truth be told, I can't imagine how life would be like for the other should one of them depart first. So my dad is 80 this year. In fact, that picture that was taken there was taken at the 80th birthday celebration that we had for him. Yeah, and thank God his health is still relatively good. So as a family, we're really thankful that we had the chance to go to Malacca just over this week and spend time with my parents. And I really want to encourage you, if you have such moments, please cherish such moments. Especially for those of us with aging parents. Now, why do I share so much about my dad? Because I think my dad stands as an example of someone who has been so blessed. You could say that he has been blessed in every way. And as you hear his story and perhaps pause to reflect on your own life, you might think to yourself that you too have similarly been blessed. A good education, a good job, a good family, good security, a good life. Or perhaps, maybe not. Maybe as you reflect on the hardships and the difficulties in your life, you might defer. You might say, you know, that's not me, Edmund, that's not me. You might feel that you have not been blessed much. That quite contrary to my dad, trials and tribulations and hardships have been the main description of your life. So friends, as we come to the last service of 2018, let me ask this question. What forms the measure of our blessings? What enables us to count as somebody who can say, I have been blessed in every way? The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Ephesus in the letter of Ephesians. And he begins in this letter by reminding them in the opening section here how much they have been blessed by God in Christ Jesus. So Ephesians 1:3 starts this way. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And in the rest of the passage, and mind you, the rest of the passage is actually from verse 3 all the way to verse 14. Okay, so for those of us who have studied Greek before, you will know this is a very famous passage. Verse 3 to verse 14 is really one whole long sentence in the original Greek. Okay, it's just one long sentence there. Okay, and if you and I were to write this way in our English comprehension compositions, right, we'll fail, right? But that's how they wrote it in those days. That's how, as Paul wrote out, he just couldn't contain himself and he was just pouring forth with how much God has blessed Ephesians. I've summarized the blessings under the different points shown on the slide. So can I call up the slide? Okay, the blessings that Paul reminds us and the Ephesians that we have. Firstly, elected in love in Christ Jesus, from verse 3 to verse 6. Second, redeemed in Christ Jesus, from verse 7 to verse 8. Thirdly, we have been revealed the knowledge of God's will regarding where this entire world is heading towards, verses 9 to 12. And lastly, we are assured that we belong to God, verses 13 to 14. Okay, so let's just go through each of these blessings and just remind ourselves what we have received in Christ Jesus. So the first blessing that Paul stresses is that the Ephesians church has been elected or chosen by God in Christ Jesus. Okay, thank you. You can turn that off now. Now, the language of election, okay, what comes to mind when you think about the language of election, okay? Simply put, election means that speaks of a choosing. It speaks of a selection. So to paraphrase, it's as if God specially handpicked us, okay? The best analogy I can think of is you go to NTUC Finest, and you are shopping for fruits. Okay, I don't know about you, but for me, normally I buy it from the whole basket of fruits, you know, those that say Royal Gala apples, 5 for $3.95, right? And what do you notice? What do you do as you stand there with all the fruits before you, all the apples before you? What do you do? I don't know about you, but for an auntie like me, I specially handpick the apples, huh? Okay, so I'll take the apple and then tap, you know, is the apple crispy or not? Okay, good, put inside the bag, okay? No, actually, I don't do that, huh? But I've noticed some other people doing that, and that's what hand-picking is. It's picking up the apple and specially selecting it from the entire basket of apples there. Okay? Just to be clear, so that we don't walk away with the wrong idea, Paul immediately clarifies the nature of God's election, how God's election is like, with two further thoughts, okay? Two further thoughts. First, God chose us, or He elected us, before the creation of the world. Verse 4 tells us that. Before the foundations of the world were laid. What does this mean? Even before you and I were created, even before you and I came into existence, breathed our first breath, even before all this, God has already chosen us. This, my friends, is the mystery of mysteries, right? What this does mean is that our election, therefore, is not based on whether we did the right thing, whether you and I are good people, or it's not based on any merit, any goodness that could possibly exist in us. All these things do not form the basis of God choosing us. Instead, God chose us out of His goodwill. God chose us out of His pleasure, even before we were born. So in this sense, election here by God is very different from the earlier example I gave of aunties shopping at NTUC Finest and selecting apples. Huh? Can you see these aunties, when we normally select the apples, we select the apples based on whether they look good, whether, you know, when you tap, whether it's a crispy sound or whether it's a flat sound and so forth. Huh? But God does not select or handpick us based on how we look. He does not select us based on how impressive our CV is or how many accomplishments you and I have to our name. None of that. He selects us even before we were created. Even before you and I could have done anything good or bad. This, my friends, is the divine mystery of mysteries. Second, this is an election that is done in love or out of love. God does not choose us out of some cold, unmoved divine decree or will that is far removed from anything else and left standing on its own in abstraction from any feelings or emotions. But God's will and His divine decree to elect and choose us is grounded or rooted in His love. It is out of His great love for us that God chose us. Doesn't this, after all, lie at the heart of the verse that we like to quote in during Christmas time? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Now, friends, this is important because sometimes in the history of explaining the doctrine of election, and one of my tasks as a lecturer in Trinity Theological College is to teach systematic theology, and sometimes that is to explain the doctrine of election. And sometimes in the history of explaining this doctrine, it has been done in a cold and distant manner where God's love is not mentioned. Instead, what takes center stage in our thinking about election is that of the cold, unmoved, divine decree of God. And even then, you take it out of the classroom setting, you bring it down to our churches. You and I have experienced this before, isn't it? Every time the word election is brought up in our Christian circles, in our Bible study groups, what do you notice the DG leader straight away does? Election? Don't mention that word. Don't mention that word. Right? Because election has seemed to be a word that divides rather than a word that unites. So election, but are you Calvinist, or are you Arminian? Huh? And then we draw lines and boundaries based on which view we take. Paul reminds us here, election by God is not meant to do that. It is meant to convey the beautiful and glorious truth that God so loved us that He chose us in Christ Jesus to be His very own, to the praise of His glory. So allow me to ask, what have you been chosen for? 2018, what have you been chosen for? Maybe some of the primary six students in our midst going on to Sec 1. Maybe you have been chosen to go into a school. What did they call that? DSA, Direct School Admission. Maybe you have been chosen for that. Right? Others, maybe you have been chosen to represent your school in your sports or your CCA. Among the youth, maybe you have been chosen to represent the country in something. As an adult, maybe you've been chosen to be part of a leading team for promotion. I want to reverse the question and ask, this year, what have you not been chosen for? That's the harder question, isn't it? The easier question is always, what have I been chosen for? But the harder question is, what have I not been chosen for? Not chosen for promotion? Not chosen to be part of an inner clique of friends at school? Not chosen for some part of the family inheritance? Or perhaps not chosen by someone else to be his or her life partner? There are many things in life that you and I can be painfully not chosen for. But Paul reminds us today that thank God that in and through Christ Jesus, you and I have been chosen by God to be in relationship with Him. More than that, to be God's own adopted sons and daughters. The second blessing that Paul reminds the Ephesians and us that we have received from God is that of redemption. And this redemption comes at a costly price of Jesus' own life. Verse 7, redemption happened through His blood. So one of the most gripping and exciting news of 2018 has been football, isn't it? And by that, no, I'm not referring to the World Cup, okay? I'm not referring to that, but I'm referring to, can you show the next slide? I'm referring to the Thai cave rescue of an amateurish football team of a local secondary school in Thailand, Chiang Rai. Remember that? Huh? That seemed to be so long ago, but it was this year. This year, right? So I got this little comic strip. It's really, really funny. Yeah. So what exactly did it take for the rescue? Can I copy the next slide? Okay, you can't really see it, but let me just read it out for you. This is what it took for the rescue. It took Thai Navy SEALs, okay? It took, sadly, one fallen hero, took medics, foreign divers, thousands of volunteers, farmers, thousand number of people directly involved in the rescue. It took 19 pumps to suck water out of the cave. It took 100 oxygen tanks delivered by divers to the cave. It took 17 days, and it took a part trek, part dive, 4-kilometer journey out of the cave. Okay? One local Singaporean diver, who participated in the rescue efforts described it as a touch-and-go situation. And all of this for 13 boys who were trapped in the cave. And the whole world agrees that it was worth it to be able to save 13 young boys and preserve their lives. So this holiday break, my family was very thankful that we had a chance to go to Thailand for a holiday, right? And we were flying back. And as we were flying back on Jetstar Airlines, I saw an advertisement. And it was an advertisement from the Thai government, which really recapped this major event. And at the end of the advertisement, the Thai government thanked the world for coming together to save for the purpose of humanity, right? It mobilized the world and its resources to save 13 young Thai unknown boys. What do you say that? How do you say that in Thai? You say, Kapun Kap. Thank you. That's what the Thai government did. Thank you. Can turn that off? What did it take for God to save humanity? It took the blood of His eternal Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. It took God in Jesus Christ the cost of His own life to reconcile us back to Him. And Jesus did it through the cross. So my brothers and sisters, what you and I have witnessed in our own lives is not just the great Thai cave rescue. Give me a next slide. It's not the Thai cave rescue that the whole world watched eagerly this year. But what you and I have been involved in and rescued from is the greater world depravity cave rescue that we all as humanity need rescue from. And God has done it in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. The third blessing follows from the second. We have not only been redeemed and reconciled, but we have now been given knowledge of God's will. Specifically, we have been given knowledge of where God is taking this whole world towards, where He's bringing this world towards. And He's taking or bringing all things, verse 10, all things in heaven and on earth together under one head. And that head is Christ. Verse 10. Later in the book, Paul will explain that all things in heaven refer to the prince and principalities of the spiritual realm. That is, it refers to the unseen spirits and spiritual forces working behind the thoughts and the thought patterns of this world. That's what all things in heaven refers to. And all things on earth refer to all people groups on earth. And in Paul's day, the whole of humanity was divided into two categories, two very distinct polar categories. You were either a Jew or you were a Gentile. And the two never met together. Right? What Paul is saying here in Ephesians is that whether it is spirits or principalities, or whether it is Jew or Gentile, all of this will be brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. The whole world will be put at the feet of the one that it rightfully belongs to, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this has been revealed or made known to us. So who do you think the world belongs to now? As you and I read the papers, one way to interpret the newspapers that we read every day is to answer this question: who does the world belong to, isn't it? US says it belongs to us. China says, no, it belongs to us. And therefore, there's a trade war. Correct? That's what lies at the heart of it, determining who this world belongs to. And Scripture has revealed to us, God has reminded us, this world belongs to Jesus Christ. So if you and I understand this, then there is no reason for Christians of all people to go around life aimlessly, meaninglessly, feeling like every day is just Groundhog Day, repeating itself in never-ending circles. Huh? That's how some of us live life, isn't it? Right? It's like Groundhog Day. We just go about, we find life meaningless, you know, without meaning. For others, perhaps we are chasing enterprise after enterprise in order to find meaning in life. Next project after the other one, the next title after the other one, the next accomplishment after another one. And it's all because we're trying to find meaning in life, trying to answer the question, where does this world, where is it heading towards? Christians of all people should know where this world is heading towards. It's heading towards Christ. We need to remind ourselves of that. And all of this is beautifully captured in the words of this song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. It's an old song. I listened to it a lot when I was growing up. Okay, and this part of the lyrics of the song. So where do we start to find every part of what makes this life complete? If we turn our eyes to Jesus, we'll find life's true beginning is there at the cross where He died. He died to bring us more to this life than living and dying. More than just trying to make it through the day. More to this life, more than these eyes alone can see. And there's more than this life alone can be. Stephen Curtis Chapman was right, because he understood that God has revealed to him where He is taking this world towards, to the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. The question is, are we on board that train heading for this final destination? Or are you still living life your way in a different direction, in a different path? Don't, my friends. But come on board and let's head towards where God is bringing this world towards. The last blessing that Paul lists for us here is the assurance we can have that you and I belong to God. The assurance comes in the person of the Holy Spirit
who acts as our seal. Now, the best imagery I can think of to help us understand what is meant by a seal, okay, is perhaps where you and I go bankrupt, okay, and we have a mortgage on the house. So what happens? The bank will come in and the bank will fulfill what is often said about the bank, right? When it's raining, they will lend you the, no, when it's sunshine, they will lend you an umbrella. Then when it pours for you, they'll take back the umbrella. Huh? Okay, that was meant to be a joke, but okay, never mind. Okay, no offense to those working in the banking industry. I respect you. I'm trying to. Okay, but anyway, okay. So what happens is you go bankrupt and then the bank comes up and what do? They stick a big notice in front of your house, right? That says, this house now belongs to the bank. Okay? That's what the Spirit does. Okay? Another illustration to help those with maybe school-going children. One of the things that I know you all like to do is to have stickers with your name, correct? So you print out all these stickers, and recently the privilege of printing out what's that? Wee Bear Bears, is it? Is it called Wee Bear Bears? You know those three bears? So they had stickers, and then you put in $2 and it comes up with the name. So I printed out stickers for my daughter, right? And she was very happily taking these stickers and sticking it all over her pencil case, her water bottle, her notebook. Yeah. I'm just glad that she didn't stick it on my forehead, that's all. But yeah. Just sticking those stickers all over. A seal acts like this. It tells the person that this pencil case, this water bottle belongs to so and so. It's like that sticker. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit comes to you and me whom God has chosen, we who have hoped in Christ, verse 12, and the Spirit puts this stamp on you and me that says, belongs to God. In fact, more than that, not only does the Spirit put that stamp on us, the Spirit is the stamp himself. The stamp that reminds us that we belong to God. And as that stamp, the Spirit acts as a deposit of the full inheritance that we will have on the final day when the Lord returns. It's a guarantee. And it's really because of this reason that Paul can say later in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. And with that same breath, in chapter 4, verse 30, he calls us not to grieve the Holy Spirit. The reason why he says be filled with the Holy Spirit and not to grieve the Holy Spirit is because you and I have the Spirit of God living in us, acting as a seal, as a guarantee that we belong to God. So every day, what does this mean for you? It means this. Every day when we get up, you and I need to say to God, say a prayer to God, oh Lord, let your Spirit have your way with me this very day. Don't let me have my own way, but please let your Spirit have your way with me. Assure me, remind me that I am your child, and may I live this day led by your Spirit. All of us can say that. All the way from the children here, to the adults here, to the elderly here, this is a good prayer to say every day as we begin 2019. I began today's sermon by talking about my dad. I want to end by talking about someone else. Let's call this person Susan. Okay, Susan. Now, Susan has had quite a different life. Having received a very basic education, Susan made the mistake of marrying the wrong man, someone who was addicted to drugs and who committed the mistake of peddling in drugs and ended up in jail, leaving behind Susan and her daughter. Now, a church knew of Susan's plight, okay? And let's just not mention the name of the church so that the glory goes to God alone, okay? And this church helped with part of their monthly livelihood, both mother and daughter, provided for the daughter's education, and it helped Susan to find a job as a cleaner. Susan worked for a little while until she found out that she had kidney problems and requires dialysis. So the church continued to provide for her treatment. In the meantime, Susan continues to attend service in church. But because of all that she has gone through in life, she struggles in her faith and her walk in the Lord. And you can say she definitely has her up and down moments. But thank the Lord, thank the pastors who minister to her, and thank the encouragement of people in the church, Susan continues to hold on to her faith. Now, this is a real life story. And I share about Susan because in the eyes of many, in the eyes of this world, it would seem like Susan hasn't been blessed much in life, especially when you compare her with someone like my father. But God's word in Ephesians 1 reminds us today that because she is in the Lord, she is just as equally blessed as my dad is. Both Susan and my dad, in the eyes of God, have been blessed in every way. And the same goes for you and me, my friends. For those of us who hope in Christ Jesus, verse 12, we too have been blessed in the Lord. Blessed in being chosen in Christ Jesus out of God's love for us. Blessed in being redeemed in Christ Jesus. Blessed in knowing God's will, specifically where He's taking this world towards, where He's taking your life towards. And blessed in having the assurance of the Holy Spirit that we belong fully and completely to God, that we are much loved by Him. In other words, we all, like my dad and Susan, have been blessed in every way. I don't know how 2018 was like for you. One of the things that I'm still on is the ARPC staff WhatsApp chat. Yeah, and sometimes as you hear news of our congregation, people falling sick, people taking ill, it really just teaches me we don't know how life can be like. We don't know what tomorrow will turn out to be, right? And so even as I sit here, I really, really thank the Lord, and I think all of us can thank the Lord together that Pastor Seng Kun has recovered fully and he's here to join us back. Let's give God the glory and thank God for that. And I think all of us at the pastoral team will definitely say we missed Seng Kun, and it's really, really nice to have him back, right? But just a few months earlier, Seng Kun didn't know how this would turn out for him as he faced his illness before. So friends, I really don't know how 2018 was like for you. And I don't know how 2019 will be like for us. It might be a good year, it might not be a good year, but as we end this year with our closing Sunday service here at ARPC, there is nothing more that I can bring before us than to remind us from God's word that in His Son, Christ Jesus, you and I who hold on to faith and trust in Him, we have been blessed in every way. May God indeed bless the hearing of His word. Let us pray. I wish to give us some moments just to reflect, perhaps in your 2018, as you reflect on the things that you have gone through. Some of it may be blessings, some of it may be trials and difficulties and tribulations. But in all of this, after thinking, spending some time reflecting on this, let us come back to God's word in Ephesians 1. And let us remind ourselves and be thankful that indeed in Christ Jesus, we who hope in Christ have been blessed in every way. Let's just do that for a few moments, shall we? So Heavenly Father, we come before You, and as we're reminded by Your word, as Your Spirit takes Your words and speaks it into our hearts and minds, we come before You and we are humble. Who are we to deserve such love, such grace from You? Who are we to deserve such blessings from You? But indeed, Your word tells us that You chose us even before the foundations of this world were laid. Oh, divine mystery of mysteries, we can never understand that. But we thank you truly from the bottom of our hearts for your great love shown towards us. And we pray and ask, O Lord, that indeed your Spirit may have its way with us every day, that your Spirit will remind us that indeed in Christ Jesus we have been chosen, we have been redeemed, we have been adopted, that indeed in Christ Jesus we have been blessed in every way. And may this thought surround us as we end the year 2018 and head into 2019, looking only to you as our anchor and our rock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.